If you're enjoying this independent podcast, I'd really appreciate it if you could take a few moments to do a review, like, share and subscribe. And if you'd like to see extra content and show your support, head to the Patreon. The link is in the show notes. It's November 2024 and only days away from the interview with Sam Vaknin. Producer Scott Altomori flew in from Los Angeles, Mark Vicente from Portugal, and a film crew descended on my little home in Scotland. Some weeks had passed since I dove through the evidence, and in the meantime, I'd been emailing Sam regularly to set up the shoot. I updated the film crew on my communication with him. So I've had to very gently email him and say, right, are you free here on these dates? And yes, and the more I have kind of left the gaps in between, the more interested he is. So I'm not deliberately, but I've ended up playing him at his own game because I couldn't confirm dates due to crew availability, etc. So the emails, though, they're all, it's so interesting looking at this because they start off, they're quite formal. And yes, I'll make myself available and I'm all very polite. However, once things get real, once it seems that I'm actually going to be there, that's when I'm noticing slight shifts in the language. It's more informal, but crucially, he invites me to, well, it's kind of a bargain. I say, look, you know, we'd like to give you a little bit of money for your time, which is normal for an expert. And I wanted to be saying, well, I hope you'll accept it. I know he's very unmotivated, but I said, I hope you'll accept it. And he said, yes, but as long as you accept my invitation to have dinner with me and my Lydia, brackets, publisher and wife. His wife is used in his MO for pursuing his victims. So I believe that I am now being groomed. I am the next target, and what he doesn't realise is that he's my target. Richard Grannan, Sam's former business partner, sent me a video that featured yet another confession of what his goal is. Since learning the allegations from multiple women who contacted him, Richard has had to review all his past interviews and seminars with Sam through a new lens, and it's chilling. Here's part of it, and you'll hear my reaction at the end.
If I am with an intimate partner, I have merged and fused with her, then I start to separate from her. Mm. I start to separate from her by becoming her inner critic. I supplant her inner critic, and so I criticize her, analyze her, castigate and chastise, and so this is my way of pushing her away. Mm. So I merge and fuse, then I begin to cut her off. Mm. I cut her off partly by becoming her inner critic. Then I discard her. It doesn't do the trick fully. I feel separated, but definitely it's adulterated. Mm. I need a much higher grade of heroin. You know, if she dies, or attempts suicide, or goes crazy, or is totally broken, like totally, the separation is much stronger. The drug is much more potent, and I vicariously experience separation, and this is as close as I can ever get to feeling that I exist.
He's absolutely crystal clear explaining what he does. He merges with them, he becomes their critic, he discards them, but it's not enough. He wants them to die, and even mentions suicide. It's on YouTube. Having waded through hundreds and hundreds of communications between the victims and Sam, I picked out some key ones to show Mark and Scott. This is one of my favourite ones out of the whole lot. I'm evil. I'm a predator. But I'm honest about it. I have such contempt towards people that I don't bother to hide or pretend or fake civility and morality. He's going to do that on camera with me, that's for sure. Yeah. This is bad, but I like that one. Sorry, I like it because it's so bad. He's talking about the HPV, basically admitting that he claims he got tested but not for that. And then all these women are testing positive. I wanted to teach her a lesson she will never forget. Win the power play, brackets, I too am a psychopath. That's quite powerful. But that's him speaking about someone else. He's boasting to one of his new prey about what he's done to one of his old victims who he's now gaslighting as a psychopath. But this language is pretty, you know, I can't help it. He's saying that he's pushing women in his life to have sex with someone else to test their loyalty. But interesting, he says that it does hurt him. Feels like a death itself for a while. So he does feel something, but maybe that's the ego, his ego dying. So he's basically saying that he would actively encourage his victims to have sex with someone else as a test. And if they did it, then he'd punish them and then the discard would happen. It's giving him a reason. But I think he would have been secretly hoping that they wouldn't have done that. So I'm fully aware that I'm about to meet a very evil person. And what's, I think, scarier is he's clever. He's intelligent. I am most worried about being genuinely interested in talking to him and genuinely asking and being so authentic. All my questions are real. The context slightly shifted because we're talking about narcissism in general. But I'm talking about in general, but also in relation to him. But there will be that moment where I do what a narcissist does, and that's the mask drop. And I'm terrified of that because that's actually, it's not who I am. I'm a very, very honest person. I say I have honesty, Tourette's, ADHD as well, so oversharing and all that, I can't help it. I won't be oversharing with him. But that moment where I reveal, here's my purpose, and I will do that all very authentically, but I know he is a wounded little boy, deep, deep down. He's a wounded little boy, and I'm going to see that. There'll be a flash of the, I think, the realization of this is a trap. I am the trap. And then I'm sure the fog will come down, the red mist, as they say, and then the fury. And I'm not going to feel bad after that, because I'm sure I'm going to get a mouthful, as they would say in Scotland. And I need to stand firm and I need to be really sharp and memorize all the accusations. And there's a lot of them. There's a list of them. Infecting them knowingly with HPV, which can be cancerous. Well, I mean, sexually assaulting, sexually abusing victims, abusing his position of power as a therapist. The coercive control, the psychological control, the psychological annihilation. There's a raft of inappropriate behaviour, just from a professional sense. He gets struck off in every single country. But what he does to them once he discards them is he tries to encourage them to kill themselves. And even though he knows that there's, you know, a documentary team know how bad he is and he's been in jail before and other people know this and there's smear campaigns online, he still feels confident enough for me to be going and interviewing him and pitching him to incredibly reputable networks in the UK and abroad. I mean, I am, not to blow my own trumpet, but I'm an award-winning crime journalist. I am legitimate and I have integrity. So, and he's just like, oh, it's like water off a duck's back, Teflon. And yeah, I'm going to just legitimize him, but I'm not. I'm going to destroy him. I want him in jail. I don't want him to harm another woman, and that's what's hard. The majority of people that I focus my work on are dead. I am their voice. These victims, they're alive, barely some of them. They're so broken. How they, you know, it's not just a case of You cut the tie, you move on. He has rearranged their brain wiring and they don't even know who they are right now. He has controlled them to the point where they don't know how to survive without him, even though he is the enemy. He's made them the worst kind of prisoner, the prisoner that doesn't know they're in a jail. And I need to stop him. And if this piece of evidence of me going there, confronting him, knowing that we're after him, knowing that we know what he's done, and we're going to present everything we can to every authority that we think might help in whatever country or Interpol, and he needs to be stopped. As a team, we had to carefully plan the interview with safety in mind. It would be outside so we could have undercover police officers nearby. It also allowed for Sam to storm off, which we predicted might happen. We would have to do some establishing shots of he and I walking before the interview, as I knew the filming would be over as soon as I brought up the allegations. However, while I was packing, I received an email. He didn't want to do the setups before, in case it would tire him out, and he would prefer to do the interview inside at a podcast studio he uses. I couldn't let this happen. I couldn't be in the enemy lair. Good afternoon, Isla. Please call me Sam. Oh, because I've been calling him Professor. Let's take the outshots after the interview, not before. Otherwise, I would be depleted. Thought it was right next to where we're shooting.
It is.
So, have you decided where you'd like to hold the interview? If the outdoor proves too overwhelming, we can shoot in the studio of Marjan, my cameraman and friend. I suggest dinner at 6 p.m. in a restaurant. I'm excited to meet you finally. Safe travels. I think I need to say to him, it's just a short one.
It's literally the walk under the trees.
Yeah.
It's just literally one walking shot.
That's definitely another line that's crossed, like to not call him Professor Vaknin, to call him Sam. But he's trying to control here. Let's take the outshots after. I mean, it's not going to be depleted from walking for 5 minutes.
He did that last time when we were trying to shoot everything. He tried to make it change everything around.
Well, because I've given him the reason, and the reason is the light. So, Kirk, you're going to have to say that he's replied again already. We shoot the outtakes after the interview. I know Scopa better. I also know my body better. We do it my way or not at all. Wow. Okay, this has turned nasty. I'll just have to agree with that. We'll just have to get a load of us chatting before we start. I'll just write, no problem. Whatever makes you comfortable. Ooh, I'm just going, oh, he likes me. No, he doesn't. Yeah, that's a threat there. We do it my way or not at all. I've never had anyone demand, like, the order of shooting something.
That's what he does.
You'll see. But what will happen is when you get there, he'll tell you you can do it whatever way you want. I guarantee you.
I'm also reluctant to shoot hours of interview outdoors at 11 degrees Celsius. If it becomes harrowing experience, we move indoors.
We'll have a cover set if we need to.
We don't have a backup indoors location.
I will get one if we need one.
I started panicking that we could jeopardise the whole thing over our preference to shoot outside. The temperatures were dropping from 16 degrees Celsius to near freezing unexpectedly. Kirk, my cameraman, who you'll hear with the Scottish accent, joined Mark and I to go over our concerns. Mark gave us some insights into the similar behaviour by the cult leader of Nexium.
Yeah, I do feel like we're having a little bit of a rethink here. Isn't that amazing that it was all like, I was being, no!
But can I tell you something? This is what Ranieri would do.
Yeah.
So anything that I was involved in and other people, you'd get like huge things. I mean, I'll tell you, for instance, we had this Mexican company that we were, that was part of ESP Nexium, was doing the opening for the some Olympic thing that was happening in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was ready, and it was costing millions.
Mm-hmm.
And as it was about to go on, he decides to read something. And he says, well, that's not what I said you should do. You need to change it. And everyone's like, you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking millions, it's happening. He says, you have to change it, it's not right. And he went into a sulk in the corner because it wasn't being changed. So they have a certain, they want to have control at the last minute, but they also don't understand what it actually takes to do those things. But he would always sabotage everything at the last minute.
Yeah, it's a shame about the temperature, isn't it?
It's fucking...
Because saying, well, I'm not going to sit there for 2 hours might be reasonable if it's close to zero degrees. If there's any breeze, it could be quite cold.
Yeah.
You get pretty cold, I remember, from filming with you in winter.
Absolute nightmare. That's why I've got my thermals and everything, because I can't have my teeth chattering.
Blue lips. Similar people.
Blue lips, yeah, literally. It's a problem.
Cool. It's going to be exciting.
But I would endure it. That's the difference, because I know how important it is.
Yeah.
But I do understand, you know.
That's sort of a single room at that hotel. Oh, okay. You know. The thing is, with the hotel room, like, once he walks out that door, it's over. Mm. Nothing else happens. Mm-hmm. But, I mean...
And I didn't want the inside, for that reason, because it's quite... And also, when someone feels enclosed, that there's more risk of...
You can't have security in a little room either.
No. I just want to get in my head again. So, we turn up. He turns up. I'm going to basically almost, not quite run, but scamper to wherever he is. And we're shooting him the whole way coming up to where we are.
Yeah.
And then I will introduce him to everyone.
Yeah.
So it's just pointing out and rolling, and then you can go and say hi. It doesn't matter if you're in front of the camera, we're ignoring all that. Well, the best laid plans and all that, as they say, is quite late, far too late, the night before we leave. And we leave at, I'm going to get up at 3 a.m. completely disorganised because everything has changed. Everything has changed. We've had to completely change where we're doing. It was all supposed to be outside, good place for him to escape. Plainclothes police officers, sort of off in the distance, keeping an eye, and everything was going to be fine. But he was going to pull out because it's going to be cold. So now we have to do it. We've had to hire an apartment, and it's just a whole different ball game. I'm feeling extremely nervous now because we can't have the police. We've got less control. I popped into the hotel where Mark and Scott were staying to pick up an extra camera battery and to talk over a few final things. Hello.
Hey.
Yeah. I'm recording.
Oh, you are?
There's maybe some stuff to say. I'm just really worried now.
What?
I'm concerned about the confrontation happening in that space.
I just don't think he's going to be physical. I don't think she's going to be physical either, but... We've been talking about, at a certain point, we should have the security guys outside the door.
Yeah, I agree. We'll also go down early and we'll suss out if there's anywhere that the guys could sit that are, they're in the building. The problem is, if something happens in that apartment, it's in a split second, and there's not, they can't get in. Do you know what I mean? We'd have to open the door and all that.
Mark came out to see me off. He gave me a hug goodbye and wished me luck. The coffee in sunny LA felt like a lifetime ago. Now I was taking he and Scott's baby over the final hurdle. I later asked how he felt seeing me leave.
So when you left, I felt helpless and like I'd sent the lamb off for slaughter. It was a little bit like the best military metaphor I can think of is like, there's a target, and somebody agreed to go off, and like they're off there pretty much in their own. I mean, you had a cameraman with you, but like it felt pretty kind of shit actually. Because I thought that have I put her in a bad position, but we'd had enough conversations that I understood that you were very capable of making your own decisions, and that you can't be pushed into anything, so I felt okay about that, but I felt really helpless. Like, I was in Scotland just shooting drone stuff and, location scouting and stuff.
Just to be clear, I wasn't pressured into anything. I chose to do this, and I felt much better after having a chat with them.
Oh, right, I'm feeling slightly
marginally calmer after seeing the guys. I think we've got a agreed tactic. The amount of times we've discussed, what about this, what about that, what about this. But I think the cool, calm and direct is actually better than me trying to be a smart arse. And the truth is, I've got absolutely no control really on a lot of things, and I just have to go with the flow. We settled upon getting onto the topic of covert narcissists, whether or not they fear getting caught, what happens when they are caught, do they feel remorse? And then somewhere in there I'll say, are you worried about getting caught? And he'll say, what are you talking about? I think he'll say that, and then I'll get to repeat it. And that's when I say, you know, I've seen evidence of, you know, written and photographic evidence of physical, mental, financial, every type of abuse of vulnerable people who've come to you for help. Sound all calm saying it now. Don't think I'll be able to deliver it that way because I'm probably going to be competing with someone raising their voice. Anyway, right, driving home to pack, repack, to redo the pack, and then getting up horribly, horribly early.
Kirk and I had to travel alone as none of the crew connected to Mark and Scott could be seen by Sam. We even had to remove the production company labels from all the camera equipment bags. A small detail could ruin everything.
Here we go. No going back now.
So I'm finally on my way. This is, you know, the majority of this year has been building up to this. I'm trying to focus just on getting three flights out of the way and actually getting there with our equipment. I'm trying to delay the stress, but the last minute, oh my gosh. I feel that I've been a little bit wobbled by the way he was in the emails yesterday, even though it was anticipated that he would try and sabotage this, but he's all friendly now. He can't wait to see us. He wants to know as soon as we land, which is good. So we're going to have a very warm welcome, I think, and then we're going to have a very, very speedy exit.
We first had to fly to London, then Croatia, and finally, Skopje. The journey was not smooth, and I was receiving emails from Sam throughout with what appeared to be some trick questions. I had to handle it very carefully, and I was in and out of internet.
So I thought after the last wobble, it would be plain sailing. However, second flight of three, as the plane's pulling back and I'm about to switch my phone off, get another email with a kind of potential trick question, and I'm like rushing to reply so that I'm not hours and hours and hours later, because that no reply for hours and hours, even though I'm on flight, is going to be a problem. So I've replied, and I don't know if my data's kicked in yet to show if he's responded yet and my email's not uploading. We're so close, and I feel like there's more hurdles in the way before we get there, unexpected ones, before we face the big challenge that we know we're going to be facing. Two flights down, one flight to go. We managed to race off the plane and get here, but we can't even get through to the departure gate because they're so short-staffed. So we've been told to wait. We don't know if we're going to get on the plane or not. I'm just praying this isn't a wasted journey. There's so much riding on this. There's so much pressure on me. I'm the one little person that's going to go and face this big, horrible, evil giant, David and Goliath. And I've got my stone. We've made it. Three flights, pretty tight connections, and all the equipment's arrived. So, next is our, I don't know.
Upon arriving, we went to the location where we were due to film the next day. We couldn't get inside the building, but we wanted to see the street layout. so we could try and guess from which direction Sam might arrive. We'd have one chance of getting him walking towards us.
So we've hired a really lovely, elegant apartment. It's my castle. I'm going to be up in my tower. I've got to stop talking about dragons being slain, except the princess is in the tower slaying the dragon. I don't need someone to do it for me. Anyway, I'm looking at the graffiti. I keep my head high. I got my wings to carry me. I'm going to keep my head high tomorrow. Do you know what? I just can't wait till this is over tomorrow. When we are walking out of that building, when we are done, we've got the equipment, we've wrapped and hopefully got it in the can. That's when I'm going to feel the relief. Well, maybe when I'm on a plane leaving here, I'm going to feel relief. So I am so exhausted, not just from the travel, but my brain is just, this is... It's so huge and tomorrow is so important. I have to be switched on. So I'm going to go to bed because it's absolutely crucial I get some sleep. I have got to be top of my game tomorrow. There's a lot at stake. It's 6 in the morning and I've barely slept. I slept for an hour and then I don't know if I had a nightmare or something, but I jumped out of bed and my phone had fallen down the back of the hotel bed. I had to pull the whole thing out to try and get it. I thought I can get it out. Like, I've woken up every hour. And now I'm just 3 and a bit hours before I meet him. 3 and a bit hours until years and years of someone else's work. I think it's 3 years they've been working on this film. Comes to that moment. I'm going to need a lot of caffeine. Fuck, 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 fuck. My heart is racing. Just leaving the hotel to go to location and feeling very nervous.
We arrived at the apartment early because it would take us an hour or two to get the camera equipment set up. We could not tell anyone in the room what was happening. The only crew member who knew our purpose was Victor, our fixer.
Are you ready, Emma?
Yeah, well. I think you are. Prepared as I can be.
You have a radio mic on you, do you?
I've got a mic on me, yeah. Radio mic, it's attached to my trousers. So I'm just checking for... the 5-minute warning.
Should we ask him if he'll do a shot out?
No. I think between the...
We'll try and get on the street.
On the street, yeah, meet and greet. And then even as walking up the steps.
So we might go down there and wait.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But he said he's going to give us a 5-minute warning.
And finally, I got an email saying he'd be arriving shortly.
Should we go?
Yeah, let's go down. I'll see you in a dollar. He said, yeah, ETA 7 minutes.
Let's go.
Right. Oh God, it's freezing.
We made our way down the 5 flights of stairs in the freezing building. I was wearing my smart outfit for the interview, which offered zero warmth.
Ah, it's cold.
We went outside and scanned the streets, and I spotted him coming from an unexpected direction, and much earlier.
He's over there. He's behind us, yeah, he's over there. That's him. He's behind us.
Like a pantomime villain, he was behind us, but a block away. I had to run and, for the first time, put my mask on. In the next episode of The Narcissist Playbook, Sam Vaknin immediately asserts his dominance before we even start filming.
I would feel very uncomfortable with this arrangement.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a kind of love seat.
He offers his wisdom about narcissists and their victims.
The people at the receiving end of the narcissist are usually heavily traumatized, heavily damaged, and I don't think they should make any concessions, or I even think it's counterproductive to try to understand the narcissist. Because narcissists are seriously dangerous.
and chillingly explains a psychopath's justification of sexual assault and rape.
They would reframe it. They would say my assault is justified because she has been teasing me or provoking me or misleading me or whatever. That's her due punishment. Or maybe she's been stupid enough to invite me to her hotel room. She deserves it. She had it coming.
The storyteller Narcissus Playbook is written, produced and edited by me, Isla Traquair, and it's the fourth in the Storyteller series. This is an independent production and I rely on you, the listeners, to help spread the word by showing your support. It doesn't cost anything, just a few clicks to like, share, subscribe and review. And soon there'll be extra content available on my Patreon for the price of a cup of coffee, including analysis, evidence, regular videos and more. Thank you for listening.